Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
He owns and operates the Pack-A-Day podcast that airs 365 days a year with over 12 million views on YouTube. A new adventure begins. It's time for the Pack-A-Day radio show with Andy Herman on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
It is Pack-A-Day Radio, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Good morning, Packers Nation. Did that sound like Andy Herman? Tommy Wirtz in for Andy Herman today, hosting the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Joining me as well, Charlie Usen over of Wisconsin Sports Weekend. You can hear him producing as well for Wisconsin Sports Daily with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning. It's a wonderful day out.
This is actually the weather that I live for right here. Just a little bit of cool in the air, but everyone knows it's summer still. It is absolutely beautiful outside. I didn't know you woke up this early, Charlie.
My girlfriend gets up for work at like 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm. And I'm one of those people that like, once I'm up, you know, you have the bathroom trip in the morning, gotta get that over with. Yep. And then after that, I'm just up. I can't go back to sleep.
Yeah. Couldn't be me waking up at 6 a.m. every day for work. It is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Today on Pack-A-Day Radio, a couple of big things that I want to talk about that I think Andy maybe has neglected to talk about in a couple of versions of his Pack-A-Day Radio show. And we begin today with Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, and more specifically, the new policies that may be coming into place here with the new soon-to-be president, Ed Policy, in July, once Mark Murphy turns 70, he will retire, and Ed Policy will be now inside his role as the new team president of the Green Bay Packers. And a couple of weeks, maybe a week ago, he had made a comment after speaking about some of his new regime and what his plan is to be, that he would not extend Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur this season. And Ari Mirov spoke a little bit on his show. I want to play his clip here for you. In regards to the new extensions, maybe not to be for the Green Bay front office and head coach.
Asked about, hey, your head coach, Matt LaFleur, your GM, Brian Gutekunst, they have two more years left on their contract. Are you going to extend them as part of your first moves as president of the team? And he said it's not going to happen this year. But he also mentioned he does not like having a lame duck head coach and GM, which essentially means head coach and GM the final year of their contract. Most NFL teams do not like doing that. I would say almost all teams do not like doing that, besides for one team. That is the Dallas Cowboys, who have done it a number of times. They did it last year with Mike McCarthy. They did it previously with Jason Garrett. But we saw, for example, Nick Sirianni. He was entering the final year of his contract. He got a nice big extension. Kevin O'Connell, final year of his contract. He got that done back in February. So if you're the new president, you're maybe just take care of it now instead of waiting into next year. But this kind of feels like I don't want to, you know, try to create headlines here, but it's like an ultimatum where it's like, if you guys perform well this year, well, you guys will get extended. But if you don't, I guess that option of firing you is now out there. It's a very interesting thing over here about saying that here at this time. Usually a new president might just give the classic, you know, go in circles answers, a bunch of word salad, and just goes nowhere. But he was basically saying this is going to be a year where we'll see what we have over here, and then we'll decide next year where we are.
That was Ari Mirov on his show. Follow him on Twitter at Ari Mirov. Charlie, my question now for the people. Are you concerned with the comments of Ed Policy that may lead to ultimatums of you will not get a contract extension this year, but I don't want a lame duck year and 1 year left on their contract? As you just heard, both of them have 2 years left on their contract this season and the following season, but they will not get extensions this year. Charlie Usen, your reaction to that?
I'm not really surprised. This is a new president. This is a guy that's running the team his way. I think you have to see what you have in-house first before you give any love to these guys on your first year. I think the difference is Ed Policy's been in the building, and there's a lot of other people who are in his position that are coming from outside where this makes more sense to go about it this way and tell your coach and your GM that, who both have been successful at their jobs, that, hey, we need to see a little bit more. So that's a little bit confusing for me because he's been in the system. At the same time, this is what everybody does. This is what you have to do. Matt LaFleur hasn't won a Super Bowl. Brian Gutekunst has not won a Super Bowl. You need to see what you have out of them first before you make any big decisions on this team. And this first year is really just a trial period for a guy like Ed Policy.
A trial period for these two guys. What was the last 6 years then, right? If we see what Matt LaFleur has done, right? Matt LaFleur is 67-33 as a head coach right now in the regular season, which works out to a perfect 100 games right now. 67% winning percentage. He had the three straight years of 13-3 and 4 now with the 17-game schedule that really benefited him. And he's made the playoffs all but 1 year. 2022, they had an opportunity to make the playoffs as well, and they lost the last game of the season. He is also 3-5 in the playoffs, which does not jump off the page, but I do think that there is something to be said that maybe he underachieved with Aaron Rodgers, but he might have overachieved so far with Jordan Love as far as playoff performance. They were not supposed to beat the Dallas Cowboys. They beat the Dallas Cowboys. Then they were very competitive with the San Francisco 49ers, which every Packer fan was going into that game thinking, we're going to lose, doesn't matter. And then their heart got ripped out because they probably should have won that game. And then no one really expected them to beat the Philadelphia Eagles last year either. So as far as Matt LaFleur's performance right now, I would give him probably a B. B plus, I think, is a fair grade for what Matt LaFleur has done. What would you say, Charlie?
I would say probably a B plus is where I'd put him too. My thing is yes, I think he may have underachieved with Aaron Rodgers a little bit. I think he may be overachieving with Jordan Love a little bit. The problem is now that you have hit that point, though, that is the expectation set for this team with a Jordan Love.
Yes.
And you set that expectation so early into Jordan Love's playing career that you kind of screwed yourself a little bit if you have a season like you did last year where it was a little bit of a plateau for this team in general. I think they were still very good last season when Jordan Love is on the field. He's a phenomenal football player. But at the same time, you need to see more from him, and you need to see that leadership part aspect of his game start taking another step too, which Matt LaFleur has talked about all offseason that it is, that Jordan Love is being more vocal, that they don't really need to ask him to be vocal at this point in his career, that he's doing everything that he needs to do as a leader. I think that's the thing I need to see, and when that starts coming out of him, you're going to see a better play come out of him as well, and then I'll be more sure in a Matt LaFleur. Right now, what we're seeing from him is that he can get guys to that level. How can he keep guys at that level? And that's something that you need if you want to win a Super Bowl. You need to find a way that for a coach to sustain that level of play.
Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. That is the number to join the show. Tommy Wirtz, Charlie Usen in for Andy Herman today on Packaday Radio. Andy will be back tomorrow. Don't fear. Just needed today off for the time. I still think that Matt LaFleur, if he was on the open market this last season, if Matt LaFleur would have been fired after this Green Bay Packers season, which I'm not calling for his job by any means, if he would have been fired and available, he would have been the top coach on the market. Even with Ben Johnson out there, who else? Mike Vrabel getting a job too during that time, Pete Carroll. I don't think it matters. I think Matt LaFleur still would have been the number one option as far as who people want to be the next head coach of their football team. This is a guy who you can tell he has his culture. He runs things not his way necessarily because he's very player open, but you know, this is a guy who was going toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers the entire time, who wanted to do things his way. And LaFleur wanted to compromise on that. And Jordan Love really bought into Matt LaFleur's culture and his system. And it seems like Jordan Love isn't the same vocal leader that Aaron Rodgers was or that Brett Favre might have been, but I also don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for this Green Bay Packers team. And Matt LaFleur has to be credited for some of that to maintain that culture in Green Bay. And now, let's go over to the other side, Brian Gutekunst. Now, feels like this show talks about Brian Gutekunst more than maybe any other show on the air in Milwaukee. Brian is always a topic of conversation on the Pack-A-Day radio. And I honestly think that he's done a very fine job for the Green Bay Packers. I know people will point at his draft history and say that there are too many misses. And people want more big splash free agency transactions and win now moves to people. I think he's done a phenomenal job. I really do. And we did the breakdown on the Pack-A-Day radio show yesterday, I believe it was, and it's about a third of his draft picks are good, a third of his draft picks are mid, and a third of his draft picks are not good. And I don't really see that being a terrible success rate in the NFL, considering one through seven rounds every year since 2018 is on the table right now, Charlie.
Well, and I think the biggest thing to notice from that is throughout the past 6 years, like we're talking about, it hasn't really felt like this Packers team has had a full-on bust like some other teams in their own division have. I mean, the Bears, it's a little more than 6 years ago, but Kevin White was a really bad pick. It really ended up not working out for them. I think you look at some of their other first-round picks. Leonard Floyd really did not end up working out for them. And both of those picks, when you look at them as college football players, they were both great athletes, but there was just stuff about them that you knew wasn't going to work at the NFL level, or at least in a system like the Chicago Bears. The Packers don't have picks like that recently. You don't really have a player, in my mind, that hasn't been able to at least put himself into a rotation over the course of his tenure with the Green Bay Packers. And Lucas Van Ness and Kevin King, you look at both those guys and say, yeah, maybe those were a little bit of a mess up. Eric Stokes a little bit. But all those guys have been able to at least keep a role on this Green Bay Packers defense during their time with the Green Bay Packers, which I think is a huge testament to what Brian Gutekunst can do as a GM. I think finding players that can stick around in the NFL is a lot harder than just finding a star sometimes.
Right now, here is one that jumps out to me as to why you could be critical of these two men. The record versus the NFC North since 2021, the 2021 start of the season, is 12-12.
All right.
500 record during that time.
And most of those against the Bears?
And, well, the Bears have one of those losses, right? And you would have played them 21, 22, 23, 24, so you're 7-1 versus the Bears in that time. Does that make you 5-11 versus the rest of the division?
That's pretty bad.
It's not great. It's not great. And that is something that jumps off the page when you talk about the success that the Green Bay Packers have had. Now, they had a great year last year where you go 11-6, but really you had a lot of question marks with Jordan Love still. You had an offense that the receiving core was not what it should have been. And the Green Bay Packers and Brian Gutekunst heavily invest in weaponry for the offense in the NFL draft, even a little bit in transactions in the offseason, bringing in a guy like Mecole Hardman to try to bring in some competition and maybe help out the special teams as well during that time. But as of right now, that is the only critique I can think of, other than not winning a Super Bowl in their tenure, is that the divisional record is underwhelming as well, Charlie.
I would agree with you. And I think you look at other teams in this division, the Chicago Bears, or even the Minnesota Vikings to some degree, I think you can get by as a head coach or a GM with those standards. If you've played well enough to put yourself in the playoffs every single year, if you've done enough to keep this team competitive all the time, year round, no matter what, I think that's enough to keep you in your job. The problem is this Packers organization has so much history behind it and so much success behind it that if you're not winning Super Bowls and you're not beating the NFC North rivals, that's a huge issue. They've had this type of success almost their entire existence, it feels like. They've been able to be consistently a top 10 team in the NFL throughout the entire time the Green Bay Packers have been an organization. For you not to then take that next step of those qualifications of what makes this organization so great is a little frustrating to the people that are running the organization as well.
It's also now 3 years in a row the Green Bay Packers have not won the division during that time, and that's really, I mean, the longest stretch in quite some time. Now, you have to go back to when it was 3 years in a row when Green Bay didn't win the division. You go to 08, 09, and 2010, and that was the last time there was a three-year stretch in a row where the Green Bay Packers didn't win the division at least once during those 3 years. But the Detroit Lions have, they made a generational trade during that time. They brought in Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford, and I believe Jahmyr Gibbs was a part of that trade package because of the pick that happened from there. They've gotten some really awesome players over that time. The Minnesota Vikings in 2022 when they won with Kirk Cousins. You know, they have one of the they end up drafting one of the best wide receivers, if not the best wide receiver in the NFL during that time as well too. I mean, this is virtually the same argument of, hey, a generational player gets brought into Green Bay like a quarterback during this time, and it can really change the trajectory of a franchise. Now, what has Brian Gutekunst done to bring in some of these guys? Well, he had a great draft last year. Not this past draft, but the draft before. You're talking about some amazing production outside of your first-round pick, Jordan Morgan, who I do believe will be in the starting. I told Andy Herman that you can Sharpie Jordan Morgan on the offensive line, but write him in pencil wherever you put him. I think they will find a place to put Jordan Morgan on this offensive line, but I don't quite know if it's going to be at left tackle or right guard or wherever they want to play him. But Edgerrin Cooper looks like an all-star, all-pro stud right now. Javon Bullard put up a lot of great production in the nickel spot for you as well. Evan Williams was going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year through 6 weeks, it felt like, for the Green Bay Packers. So it is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately type league indeed, and I think lately Brian Gutekunst has a great track record right now. And then this past draft, investing in wide receiver is something that we got to experience live when we were doing the draft show here. You will never take that moment away from Packers fans. They were all extremely happy that the pick was Matthew Golden. So I don't quite understand the critique, and I'd be curious as to know if other people feel that Goody and LaFleur are worth this ultimatum, that it is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, and there is a scenario in which you are so unimpressive next year that you will not have a job after that.
Again, especially if this is a trial period for Ed Palissy to see what you guys are doing. It may not be a very hard trial. It could be like a tutorial type of thing where they just want to see you do the most basic stuff, and that's all he needs to know for your job. But at the same point, no matter what job you're going into and you get a new boss, they're going to want to see and reevaluate everybody from top to bottom.
Absolutely. And that's how this works. Absolutely. When a new boss comes into an organization who's never been with the organization, Right. Sure. But Palissy's also been working his way up with Green Bay. Like, how out of tune are you with the GM and the head coach at that point if you're not feeling confident? And again, Nicolay Law fan talking text line 414-677-1250. Am I looking at this through too positive of a lens right now? Because you could be the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, you could be the New York Jets. And I don't want to, and I do not want to settle for mediocrity in Green Bay. I understand that. I want to expect Green Bay to win a Super Bowl every year when they come out to compete. That is what the expectation that should be the standard in the NFL. And I understand that so few get to have that glory. The Kansas City Chiefs are terrible for this argument right now because Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they just get there every year. They can coast to the playoffs and then they turn it on in January. Well, that's not how most NFL franchises can run. The Patriots and the Chiefs, what we've seen over the last 25 years, is not how the NFL runs. And the Green Bay Packers have virtually gone this entire stretch with Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, where they have created Zero drama through those two. Any of the drama was through the last quarterback. And not a lot of disappointing seasons during that stretch. You could say 2022 was disappointing, but that was also Aaron Rodgers' worst season in that stretch as well. While 2023 looked like the regular season was disappointing, they were able to upset the Dallas Cowboys, and everyone changed their whole tone on the season. It was no issue after that. Last year, you could see the Packers running out of steam. I don't think it was a coaching problem. I think it was a personnel problem. And maybe that's Brian Gutekunst's fault. But he really did attack it, I think, again this offseason. And I still think that the ultimatum is completely unfair to Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, Charlie.
I get it. I just don't feel like this is what we would call an ultimatum in my mind. Again, this is just see what you can do. And I think, again, the big worry with this Packers team is, yes, the personnel isn't there, but now they're giving you the personnel. Now Brian Gutekunst has given you those players. So now the question is, can Matt LaFleur take that next step with these new players and this new personnel? Is the coaching really as good as we feel like it is? And then on the other side of things, if Matt LaFleur is doing everything he can, he's drawing up plays and this team is still winning, but Matthew Golden isn't involved, Savion Williams is not involved. That's an issue for Brian Gutekunst then too, from Ed Pelosi's point of view. Again, it's not really about these guys are going to get fired or re-signed right away based on this season. I think it's going to be a bunch of small factors that are going to come into play about how long an extension is, how much money the extension is worth, because all those things will come into effect for a guy like Ed Pelosi. Yes, he's seen these guys work, but he hasn't seen them work up close.
Coming up on the other side, we'll go over some of maybe these standards that could lead to positive and or negative results in terms of contract extensions for Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. And we will talk about the Green Bay Packers and how they fare against the rest of the NFC North after this offseason. It's Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM in the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas. What's the frequency can at this year? Bends a tree.
Welcome back to the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sorry, Andy Herman, a little bit of a cold. No, I'm kidding. It's Tommy Wirtz filling in for Andy Herman today. He'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry. Charlie Usen as well joining me today on the Packaday Radio Show. Charlie, thanks again for coming in this early, my friend.
Of course, no problem.
Yes, we got to stick together here. Charlie, we were just talking about Ed Pelosi's comments of not wanting to, prioritize an extension for Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst this season, but doesn't want to put them into a lame duck year, is what you heard. Meaning 1 year left on the contract, and that's how you're coaching or running your general management duties during that time. And then he compared it to the Dallas Cowboys situation, which they have done with Mike McCarthy, and I believe they did the same with Jason Garrett. Did they fire Jason Garrett or no? Yeah, so it was the same way where they were put out on these frozen blocks to basically just die. At that point, there was no extension coming, and they had to coach that year because they weren't going to pursue anyone during that time. And I do think that there is something to be said that could either really light a fire under some people, or it could cause people to totally mail it in. And there's a lot more uncertainty that comes with those lame duck years. Now, looking at the rest of the NFC and the whole landscape of it, you know, Philly's at the top. After that, really, it's a crapshoot for who the number two team could be in the NFC. And so I think that hurts Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur during this stretch, that there is no defined rules or standards that they're trying to live up to versus the rest of the NFC North, other than maybe, hey, I'll let you finish behind the Philadelphia Eagles. And so, Charlie, what I wanted to do in this part of the show is really think at the beginning part, right now, what do you think helps Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur secure an extension versus a season that might hurt their case? And other than the obvious, if the Packers were 0-17, they're both going to be fired. I understand that. But I would like to have a little bit of a realistic opinion on what do you think, if things aren't going in the correct direction, could hurt both their cases to try to get an extension, Charlie. Let's start with Matt LaFleur, because it seems like that would be a much easier guideline to define for an NFL franchise. If Matt LaFleur doesn't get to X amount of wins, Charlie, he should feel concerned about an extension.
I think for Matt LaFleur, if you're just talking about solely wins, if he doesn't get to 10 wins this season, I think that's a pretty low bar. I don't think he gets an extension. I think more so his extension is tied to the performance of some of the players. I think Jordan Love taking another step this year is going to be huge for Matt LaFleur getting whatever kind of extension he wants. I think Jordan Morgan, like you mentioned before, staying within this offensive line matters for both Gutekunst and LaFleur. Again, I think it's all very much attached to the performance of the guys on the field and elevating these players now that you've added more talent into some of these groups that needed it.
I will say that I do think that the head coach is basically judged on one thing, and that is wins and losses. And maybe the wins and losses can extend past the regular season, and you talk about postseason success, you know, looking at a guy like Marvin Lewis with Cincinnati, right, and how long he got a leash for the regular season, even though it was like 8 years in a row he got eliminated in round one for the Cincinnati Bengals. So I do think that you can work in your job extension, regular season success, much easier than, or at least convincing, much more convincingly than postseason success in the NFL specifically. And I think 10 wins is a good number for Matt LaFleur because it's a Green Bay Packers team that is 11-6 last year. They are bringing back a lot, and they did not bring in a whole ton. And now to transition that to Brian Gutekunst and his expectations, that is where I also see team success playing a very pivotal role for his extension, not just because it's obvious, but when you talk about who were some key additions this offseason for the Packers, right? Aaron Banks, not through the draft, by the way. Aaron Banks, Isaiah Simmons, Nate Hobbs, Mecole Hardman. Other than that, like, they re-signed Brandon McManus, they re-signed Isaiah McDuffie. I mean, there's not a whole lot that they brought in outside through the trade market and or through free agency. It was Brian Gutekunst running it back virtually, and he had a very young team. I mean, how many times do we have to hear over the last 2 years? Youngest team in the league. I hate that excuse. It's just so uninteresting to me that it's the youngest team in the league. You know, it was a really young team, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they just won the NBA championship. I understand it's a completely different sport, but youth, I don't think, plays nearly as much of a factor as far as talent goes in the NFL and professional sports. Now, when you talk about what they brought in the NFL draft this season, obviously Matthew Golden, Anthony Belton, Savion Williams, Baron Sorrell, Colin Oliver, Warren Brinson, Micah Robinson, John Williams. The real factor that could play in a role on Brian Gutekunst is how the pass defense looks this year. And that does not have any effect really on Matt LaFleur's job description or job security at all. Because you let Jair Alexander walk, which was way too polarizing of an opinion, it felt like, Charlie, as well. But they also didn't really invest a whole lot in it other than replacing Jair with Nate Hobbs and then saying, hey, we'll take Micah Robinson in the seventh round, but Keyshawn Nixon's going to be a boundary corner. So that
he's CB1, though, right?
Right. I mean, that's what I guess. I guess he is. At this point, he has to be, right? It's not going to be Hobbs. It's going to be Keyshawn Nixon. So my thought on it is that if the defense looks poor this season and takes a step back, that's going to really impact Brian Gutekunst because of how he decided to invest in the NFL draft and invest in the offseason for the Green Bay Packers on the defensive side.
I think that's fair. And when you watch this defensive back room this year, I think you're going to see a lot of guys with short leashes on them because of that. I think Brian Gutekunst is going to have a lot of pressure to make sure that the right guys are on the field in order to keep his job or at least get the extension that he's looking for. Again, I want to go back to this offensive line, though. If Jordan Morgan, for some reason, is not in that starting offensive line group, if Zach Tom has another phenomenal season and he does not end the season with a contract extension at all, these are all going to be issues to me. If Elkton Jenkins doesn't play this season, and because of these contract extension talks, and you see a significant loss on that offensive line, you see them take a step back because of that. These are all things that go to Brian Gutekunst too. I think if we go to back to the draft, Matthew Golden, I think if he's not a top two wide receiver on this team this year, that's going to be an issue for Brian Gutekunst. Yes, he goes and makes that pick at wide receiver, but there's a lot of people that were studying this draft that were saying Matthew Golden was not one of the top receivers in this draft, that he was getting really highly overrated by people. And that if the Packers went and got him and he's sitting there as the fourth option in this pass game, that's going to be a problem. I think, yes, you're right. Matt LaFleur, the wins, if he gets 10 wins, he's pretty safe with his job. Brian Gutekunst, there's a lot more to it for him.
It is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, also live on YouTube now. Make sure you guys check out the Fan YouTube, youtube.com/@TheFanMilwaukee, talking about some benchmarks for the Green Bay Packers, specifically Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, to secure job security with Ed Policy in terms of an extension. Now, Charlie, another topic that I don't think we've covered nearly enough on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show is looking at the rest of the NFC North and the Green Bay Packers, specifically this offseason, from when playoff season ended, because all the NFC North was done at the same time, to when now, to right now. And looking at where the Packers fare compared to the rest of the NFC North. And if you want to join the conversation, you can too. Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line 414-677-1250. How do you think the Green Bay Packers fare against the rest of the NFC North right now? Because Green Bay is using the strategy of, we'll run it back. Same team, develop, Jordan Love third year, wide receivers all in their second and third years, and we got new weapons coming in that you haven't seen. Josh Jacobs another year under control, plus the defense that was great last year, we're going to run it with the same defense. And a lot, the other teams in the division made a lot more personnel changing than the Green Bay Packers did. Just for a couple here. The Detroit Lions, right? They obviously, they bring in DJ Reed. They bring in Rocky Sin. They extend Kirby Joseph. Zach Cunningham comes in. You know, there's a whole, they have a list of the transactions in front of me here. Green Bay has 7 and everyone else has way more. The list is, you got to scroll to see the whole list. The Minnesota Vikings, they bring in Rondale Moore, they bring in Jordan Mason, and then they really beef up their defense with Javon Hargrave, Jonathan Allen during that time as well. And the Chicago Bears, I mean, you know, Charlie, they win the offseason every year, right?
Every year, man.
Every year. They bring in, Olamide Zaccheaus. Joe Thuney comes in. Drew Dahlman. Dio Odegbo was maybe linked to Green Bay. Even Grady Jarrett, right? I mean, there's all these moves that happen in the offseason that the Green Bay Packers seldomly do. Not really on their radar. So where do you think the Green Bay Packers rank as far as from last year to this year on getting better, Charlie Usen?
I think if we're just rating this strictly on them getting better just on that roster, I would say they're probably third in the division. I mean, like you said, they just didn't make those moves. And what we're betting on is that the players on this roster can all take another step, which I talked about this with the Milwaukee Brewers, is when you're relying on a whole roster to take a second step, you have to prepare yourself to be disappointed by like 3 of those guys at least.
Mm-hmm.
You can hope that 3 or 4 of them will take that next step, but if the other 3 of them don't, then you have to find replacements for those. I think we're seeing that with the Brewers right now. Joey Ortiz isn't taking that next step. Bryce Turing slowed down a little bit since the beginning of the season. This Packers team, I think they're going to be in a lot of the same boat. I think there may be a world where Evan Williams may not be as good as they expected, and that you may have needed to go out and get another veteran safety just to help out in that group. Nate Hobbs may not be as good as you hope he is, and now you are screwed, and at the trade deadline, you have to trade for a veteran cornerback at this point. I think this Packers team has a lot more questions that are going to have to be answered at the halfway point of the season than other teams do at this point. Now, at the same time, this is, like I said, a historically successful organization that usually finds a way to figure this stuff out. They find a lot of diamonds in the rough, a lot of players that are drafted in late rounds or undrafted free agents that can make an impact for this team. The other teams in this division don't have that type of luck. They've had to go out and make big moves in order to get to the points where they're at right now. I think this Bears team, like I said last season, was about 3 total minutes away from being a playoff team. There were 5 different games where they lost in the final closing minutes of those games. And because of that, the moves that they made seemed to make a big difference, or seemed to, in my mind, make a big difference for them. But they don't have that same success in the regular season, so we'll see if that really works out in their favor. But just on the paper, the Packers are probably 3rd right now. I think probably the Lions are behind them in just getting better because they lost their 2 coordinators. And the players that they added are a lot of depth pieces. It's not really anybody that's going to, in my mind, be a standout in the moment.
It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Tommy Wirtz, Charlie Usen here in for Andy Herman on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. And talking about how the Green Bay Packers stack up against the rest of the NFC North from an offseason standpoint. And I like your point on, if you are expecting development, you cannot expect an 100% success rate on development. Maybe you'll get some hits. Maybe Dontavian Wicks or Jaden Reed or
Tucker Kraft.
Yeah, Tucker Kraft. Anyone from that wide receiver room really explodes. But the odds of all of them being elite wide receivers next year are really against Green Bay. And maybe you expect the defense to be totally fine after a really good rookie performances from Edgerrin Cooper, from Evan Williams during that time, but you might have doubted your cornerbacks, and you might have lacked going out and getting someone to really help that room that is inexperienced as far as playing and really not that deep. We've seen Bo Melton taking reps over at defensive back now this training camp period for the Green Bay Packers. That was not a part of the plan, I can assure you, from Matt LaFleur and from Brian Gutekunst this year. I don't know if the Green Bay Packers are first by any means as far as winning an offseason in the NFC North. But I do think they're more even than people say. And there are a lot more questions with personnel at every other team in the NFC North than the Green Bay Packers. The Minnesota Vikings are going to have a brand new quarterback. They have no idea what he has, played 1 or 1.5 preseason games, whatever it might be, and that's it. That's all you've got seen out of J.J. McCarthy. And it could work out to their advantage where there's no film on him and they could have some success this season. And it could totally blow up in their face because he might not be ready for the NFL landscape. The Detroit Lions, like you said, losing both coordinators in the same year, now it's a test on Dan Campbell. Now it's a test on how he can run the team from the offensive or the defensive side or perspective. And what the Detroit Lions, who have won the NFC North the last 2 years, can continue to do. And as for the Chicago Bears, while they did a great job in the personnel department and bringing in new and exciting names for Chicago specifically, I do think a brand new head coach is also very similar to a brand new quarterback. It could be a very big advantage. It could be a huge disadvantage at the same time, Charlie.
I think the difference is, though, between the Vikings situation with J.J. McCarthy and the Bears situation with Ben Johnson, is that the Bears are bringing in a guy who's supposed to be like the Peyton Manning of head coaches as a first round pick here. He's got that type of hype behind him as a head coach. JJ McCarthy, yes, I think a lot of people felt like he could be a first round talent, but there's also a big group of people that felt like he was a third or fourth round talent in that same exact draft. So there's a lot more questions to answer with that versus a guy who's a blue chip prospect at whatever position he is, even if it's head coach.
I really think the Minnesota Vikings are near the top. I think they might have had a better offseason than the Chicago Bears, even.
I think that's fair. I think adding Jonathan Allen, Hargrave at that defensive tackle's position, I mean, there's probably not a better defensive tackle duo, probably not a better defensive line in the NFL in my mind.
If J.J. McCarthy's good, they're going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
That's all it takes for them this season.
That's what it is for a lot of NFL teams, but we've also seen instances of, you know, Joe Burrow would have won MVP last year if he was on any other team because the Bengals were that bad. And we have seen quarterbacks struggle with a really good team surrounding them. So the Minnesota Vikings, their offseason, I think, is better than Green Bay's offseason, but that's because they're relying on two different things. And free agents are only available because the other team didn't want them. Mm-hmm. So it is always speculation. It is always, you know, hope. When it comes to those signings and those additions to your franchise, but development is the exact same boat. It's just a different path to it. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk a little bit about some of the Green Bay Packers with the highest pressures on them this season. It is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. And I don't want the world to see me, 'cause I don't think that they'd understand
when everything's made to be broken. This is my Sparky Sway song.
I think it's the perfect Sparky Sway song.
Yeah, this is not the song that he always sways to, but if there's going to be a song that pops up in the bumpers that I might nod my head to, it'll be that one. Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. And Charlie, it took me 45 minutes, but I successfully grabbed the wrong mouse for the first time. I'm getting better at it for sure.
We keep adding mouses over there. So your mice is
so many mices, so many mices right now. Meese from Mitch Nellis. Yes. It is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. We're talking a little bit about Ed Policy and his new philosophy on having the Green Bay Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst, and the head coach, Matt LaFleur, earn an extension this season, but also doesn't want to put them into a lame duck year. How do the Green Bay Packers fare against the rest of the NFC North during this time, as well in the offseason? And now I would like to propose another question here. Nicolay Law, fan talk and text line, 414-677-1250, the number to join the show. Talking about pressure on them this season. And the obvious answer is Jordan Love. Everyone knows Jordan Love has the most pressure on him this season for the Green Bay Packers. And really, there's no team in the NFL where the quarterback doesn't have the most pressure on them going into a season year in and year out. Am I wrong on that, Charlie?
No, I think you're completely right.
I think it's always the quarterback, right? But after Jordan Love, what player on the Green Bay Packers has the most pressure on them this upcoming season? Nicolay Law, fan talking text line, 414-677-1250. You can follow us on Twitter. Tweet at us there, at TheFanMilwaukee. Comment on the YouTube stream, youtube.com/@TheFanMilwaukee. Charlie, who comes to mind first when you say they have the most pressure on them this season for the Green Bay Packers? And And I don't want Goody or LaFleur as an answer either. We just talked about them for 45 minutes, and people are sick of it. I want a personnel man who has the most pressure on them this year for the Green Bay Packers.
There's two guys in my mind. I'm going to go with veteran guys. I could say Jordan Morgan, but we've talked about him too. He needs to be in that starting lineup. I think if he's not, then that's an issue for him and an issue for Brian Gutekunst. But I'm going to go with the guy that's potentially could be next to him, the guy that's trying to earn a contract this offseason at the tackle position instead of at guard. Zach Tom's going to have a lot of pressure on him this season.
I like that one.
Last year, he played at an all-pro level for a majority of the season at right tackle, and I think he has the ability to be one of the best offensive tackles in the NFL. The problem is the Green Bay Packers don't like to pay offensive tackles. They'll find any way possible to get you over to guard or center or something else in order not to give you that contract. That's what they did with Elkton Jenkins, and that's why Elkton Jenkins is also angry right now with the Green Bay Packers. I think Zach Tom has to take this season and play his best football he's ever played in order to get that tackle contract and earn that tackle contract with this Packers team. That's what David Bakhtiari did. You just have to make it so hard for them to move you out of that offensive tackle spot in order to get that contract. And I think that's a tall task. That's really tall. There's a lot of great tackles in the NFL that you have to surpass in order to get to that point. And I think he has the ability to do that, but it's going to be a hard job.
I think that it's a great answer. I do. I do think that maybe I have more faith that it's going to be fine for Zach Tom after last year. I think he figured it out. I think it clicked. I think he's on. I think he's dialed in, and he's going to get a bag, hopefully from the Green Bay Packers. But if it's not from the Green Bay Packers, he'll get a bag somewhere. Doesn't matter. Jordan Morgan, like you said, also a great answer because obviously zero production out of your first-round pick last year. And that not being a part of the game plan for the Green Bay Packers obviously adds pressure on to your year two. But I'm going to go to the other line. I'm going to go to the defensive side. And if we're going to go with two players that I think have the most pressure on them this season, it's Kenny Clark, it's Lucas Van Ness. I think both of those guys have immense amounts of pressure on them this season. Kenny Clark, He gets a little bit of a pass now for last year because of the injury. That is something that we didn't necessarily...
Van Ness too, then?
Van Ness didn't do much his year one either. And if you want to attribute that to being banged up and not at 100%, well, Mason Crosby yesterday on his show couldn't stop saying how everyone's hurt. Everyone's hurt. Are you injured or are you hurt? Because everyone's hurt. And Kenny Clark played injured last year. I would say probably could have missed some time with the foot injury after suffering that in week one of last year and no one hearing about it until the end of the season after everything has already happened. But Kenny Clark's getting paid. Kenny Clark's got the contract. Kenny Clark is a guy who at his best, people were saying, oh, Aaron Donald, Kenny Clark, right? There's a huge gap between the two. But as far as elite talent on the interior defensive line, Kenny Clark was in the conversation to be at the top of that list across the NFL. And last year, nothing. It was nothing from Kenny Clark. There was a handful of pressures that you thought, hey, good job, but those also seemed to be on select games, right? The Green Bay Packers, the most inflated stat they have is how they were eighth or something in sacks last year.
That Titans game really helped them out, man.
And they had another game they had two games with seven or more sacks. Well, like, I understand you can't eliminate those games.
The Saints game was the other one,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes. They were just dominating two awful football teams, and that really helped them out. But Lucas Van Ness, this is a guy who the Green Bay Packers not only invested a first-round pick in, but a high first-round pick in for Green Bay Packers standards. They drafted him, you know, in the lottery of the NFL, if you would. And Lucas Van Ness hasn't really panned out so far for the Green Bay Packers. Not to say that it can't happen, but it's a guy who didn't start in college, didn't have a lot. He was drafted based off of his athleticism and his RAS scores and how well he performed at that. And if you could teach and develop technique, the athleticism would take over and it would be all gravy. Well, it hasn't happened the last 2 years. And you're going to have to make a decision after this season on a fifth-year option now with Lucas Van Ness. And Kenny Clark already made his money. So if Kenny Clark wants to have a very similar season to last year, I don't think that's his mindset. He can. But Lucas Van Ness, if he wants to make his money and you want to get that second contract in the NFL, this is the most pressure he has felt now. And it is, they've even tried to move him around. They're moving him inside a little bit on a couple of plans. They're keeping him on the outside on a couple other plans. But this seems like Lucas Van Ness to me, as far as the pressure for any player other than Jordan Love on this team, I think he has some of the highest pressure on this team, Charlie.
I can see where you're coming from. I would argue that personally, I think Lucas Van Ness has not that much pressure on him compared to what he had when he first came into this league. I think right now, a lot of people even forget he's on the team. And I think that's maybe a good thing for a guy like Lucas Van Ness. When you have such low standards from the people around you, it's going to be so much easier to outperform those low standards. And I think that's something that's going to help him a lot. When I think it was last week, me and Sparky had the topic about which player do you think is going to be the breakout player for the Green Bay Packers. I said Lucas Van Ness because all it takes for him to break out this season is 5.5 sacks. Mm. That's all it's going to take. And if he does that, he's going to earn a second contract because you're so far past that point where he had those high first-round expectations. And I would argue he didn't even have those expectations when he was drafted. That was kind of a bewildering pick by the Green Bay Packers when they went out and did that. That didn't really make sense to a lot of people. And I think Lucas Van Ness, now at this point in his career, is so honestly under the radar for a lot of people that it's going to be so easy for him to outperform whatever expectations are set in front of him.
The expectations being low for a first round pick also seems like a recipe for a disaster.
Hit those, he's done. Yeah.
If there are low expectations but still growing expectations and you don't meet those expectations,
that's going to be a problem.
It's a problem. And therefore that is why I believe the most pressure still on Lucas Van Ness. What about comparing him? Let's go on the outside here, just to broaden it even more. It's the Pack a Day Radio Show. Real quick here, before we get out of here and transition over to the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis, where do you think the cornerback pressure is right now? Is there more pressure on Nate Hobbs? Is there more pressure on Keyshawn Nixon? Is there more pressure on a guy like Kalen King or someone who hasn't performed yet now? Or is it Javon Bullard on the inside? Because it's probably still the biggest question mark for the Green Bay Packers going into next season. And we're talking about who has the most pressure. Well, questions can also bring pressure, Charlie.
I think it's Javon Bullard. I think he's a guy that had higher expectations to help out this defense immediately last season. When you look at a guy like Keyshawn Nixon, he had his Lucas Van Ness season last year where he just completely outperformed whatever expectations were set in front of him, and now he's set. I don't think he has that pressure. I think it's Javon Bullard because he was so expected to be a part of this defense and just wasn't that.
Let's get to our Potomotomy Sportsbook final thought of the day.
You got to do some smart thinking.
It's time for Andy Herman's final thought of the day.
What are you thinking?
Powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
What the hell were you thinking?
You're listening to the Pack a Day Radio Show on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Final thought of the day here. The theme of the show was pressure. Whether it come from the front office, the head coach, or personnel on this Green Bay Packers team, the theme was pressure. And it's quickly turning into the Green Bay Packers might have some of the highest pressure in the NFL on them next season. But I still don't think they have the most in the NFC North. I think the NFC North, they could be fourth on that list based on pressure. Dan Campbell, that's pressure next year. Ben Johnson, that's pressure.
Dale Williams, that's pressure. JJ McCarthy, that's pressure.
That's pressure. So while you might think that there is a lot of pressure on the Green Bay Packers, which there is, they are absolutely in the driver's seat for next season. Charlie, thank you so much for jumping on with me this morning. That was a great time. Andy Herman will be back tomorrow. The Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis is up next, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Tommy Wirtz was here with you the last hour. We'll be back tomorrow with Andy Herman, 8 a.m., and of course, Go Pack Go.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.